The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nikki Thunder of KCHE in Cherokee and Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun in Sac City. Nikki, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right. Thanks, Senator. You know, I was looking at your website and I see that the Iowa senators have been celebrating the 15th anniversary of renewable fuel standards. Could you describe that?
Yeah. It was passed to make sure that we got at least 15 billion gallons of ethanol from grain mixed with petroleum products for automobiles. In addition to that, there's a certain amount of biodiesel, and then there's a certain amount of ethanol, a very small amount, that comes not from grain but from cellulose. And so I don't know what that adds up to, but it's a great boon for corn, soybeans, grains that we commonly have in Iowa, now hit with low prices because of the pandemic. I did announce on my farm program this morning, which I did immediately before your call, that China's getting big time into buying soybeans from us now. They're getting their pork back, pork production coming back because they had the African swine flu, lost probably 60 or 70% of their herds. And so they're going to need soybeans there. But the RFS is the lifeblood of the corn producer and the ethanol industry, and that industry is beyond agriculture, is about 43,000 jobs in Iowa. Dale?
Yes, Senator. Last week, President Trump made some executive orders in regards to the economic relief plans. Do you believe those are valid, and is Congress still working on some plans?
Yeah. Well, the one for sure that's valid would be the one on unemployment insurance. Beyond that, what he's doing for renters not being evicted, I think is a little more in question what that accomplishes. And then the other one, I think, is legitimate. So I think that that he is doing what he has to do, because there's been five, six sessions over the last 10 days, really hard work sessions between the White House and Pelosi on trying to reach an agreement. And that hasn't had much success. They've seen little movement. They've been threatening to do this, to move the Democrats along to agreement. But there's wide space between the White House Senate position versus the Democrat position. They're still at $3.5 trillion, where we're at no more than $1 trillion. I think we'd end up going up a little bit, but it's ridiculous. Not only in their $3.5 trillion, the amount of money they're spending, but a large share of it doesn't even deal with the virus situation. For instance, the federalization, in other words, having the federal government take over all the election laws of the 50 states where it's been for the last 240 years, is another part of the bill that the House passed. So you can see that a lot of unrelated things in there that we wouldn't even think about talking about. So the president goes ahead, and then I think the bottom line of it is that's it, unless Pelosi asks the White House to come back to the table. And we'll just have to wait and see on that. If it doesn't happen in the next 48 hours, I think this is all you're going to see until Congress gets back into session after Labor Day. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, but if we aren't going to have votes, I'm going to go back to Iowa and start having my county meetings again. I've got 49 counties still to go to in the month of August, or no later than October, and I'll be doing that. And then we'll get 24 hours to come back if they have talks that are successful and get back to it. Nikki?
Senator, could you talk about the bill to protect seniors with Alzheimer's and other dementias from elder abuse?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's to make sure that people that are in law enforcement and people that are advocates for Alzheimer's are going to be primed to protect people like that from elder abuse. Back to Dale.
Yes, Senator. Yesterday's storms left a path of destruction across the chunk of Iowa. Should a request be made for disaster assistance, how effective is the federal program at this time?
Well, the federal program is as effective this time as it probably has been for the last two or three or four decades. We might change it a little bit from time to time, but the basic program's been in place. So there's certain thresholds for a certain amount of damage in a particular city or a particular county. But once that threshold's been met, then the governor declares it a disaster, asks the White House for help. If the White House approves it, and most of the time they do, then the money starts to flow as people qualify for it. So there isn't any doubt about if people qualify for it, the money's going to be there. And then when the money in the FEMA fund runs out, we're going to, it's almost non-controversial, the replenishment of it. So we don't see much of a problem. There is, in the case of crops, though, 92% of the farmers have crop insurance. So if there is aid to individual farmers, it would kick in after the crop insurance has paid what it's supposed to pay. I would imagine that there will be some disaster declarations by the governor of Iowa, I would assume. And of course, Joni Ernst and I are going to be urging the president to back up the governor very quickly. Nikki?
Talking about another bill that you've introduced to confront rising the threat of methamphetamine, could you tell us about that bill?
Yeah, what we're after here is to make sure that we give adequate resources to local law enforcement to go after peddlers of methamphetamine. You know, it used to be that what we do here in Washington on methamphetamine was be to break up the local labs that people had to make their methamphetamine, peddle it there. We did enough clamping down on that, and you'd think, well, boy, that took care of the problem. But now we have this methamphetamine of a much richer and higher potency coming in from Mexico. So it might even be a bigger problem now than it was when we were manufacturing it ourselves. Dale?
Yes, Senator. Rural hospitals have certainly been affected by the response to this pandemic. What's being done in Washington to help make sure our rural hospitals continue to function?
Well, two things. One, one thing that Washington isn't doing now is that the prohibition of doing non-essential operations, where a lot of these rural hospitals get about 90% of the money, they can crank up their non-essential operations and continue doing that. You know, like maybe if they put off doing some knee replacements for somebody, it didn't have to be done on a certain day. You know, I mean, it wasn't an emergency situation, so they can do those things now. So whatever government did to say they couldn't do that, that helps those hospitals. And then the other thing is that out of the $175 billion we appropriated for hospitals, of which about 60 or 70 billion might not be out of Washington yet, there's some money there available. But also, about a month ago, maybe it's 6 weeks ago now, could even be 2 months ago, there was a big chunk of that $175 billion went to what we call critical access hospitals. And that's most of the rural hospitals you're talking about. That'd be about 88 out of the 120 hospitals we have in Iowa. Nikki?
Senator, could you talk about the Republican proposals to help unemployed Americans?
Yeah. First of all, this was negotiated between the White House and Pelosi over a period of the last 10 days, roughly. Five or six meetings, very intense, very long talks. No movement on the part of the Democrats to compromise down from their $3.5 trillion appropriation that the House passed. We're more in favor of roughly around $1 trillion. The big difference was they didn't reach an agreement because the Senate wanted $200 added on to whatever states give for unemployment compared to the $600 that we've done since March, ending July 31st. We want to continue some help, but we don't want to help so much that people are discouraged from when they're called back to work. They don't want to go back to work because they're making more money not working than if they were working. So we thought $200 would be enough incentive for people to go back to work. That would be $200 on top of whatever the state did. So there couldn't be an agreement between that $200 and $600. So that's a basic reason everything broke up. So then your question about what the president does, he sets it at $400, which is halfway between the $200 and the $600. Still probably higher than it should be for people to be encouraged to go back to their job. But he wants to do that on top of the state figure to help people for a longer period of time, because this pandemic is lasting a little longer than we anticipate. So that's what the president does through executive order. Dale, I think, go ahead. Dale, I think yours will be the last question.
Okay, Senator. Last week you voted against an appointment to the EPA as kind of a protest vote against biofuels waivers. How effective is that type of a protest vote for the system?
Just a signal to our constituents, for Joni and I, that we're dissatisfied with what the Department of Energy and what EPA is doing on what we call gap waivers. They shouldn't even be considering them. And they are considering them. I don't think that they're going to grant waivers because of the Tenth Circuit Court opinion saying that they already granted some waivers illegally. And so they're going to have to follow that court decision. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Nikki and Dale, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.